So gifts, we've all probably given gifts at some point. It's the Christmas season. We may be giving gifts. Types of gifts. I like ones that mean something to people that they're really going to remember or that will make them very happy. I do remember, though, watching gifts being given, especially as a kid. And I vividly remember being at my grandparents' house when I was a kid. And my grandpa would sit in his chair, and he had one of those cool, like, remote chairs that would bring him up and down. And he would sit there, and he had given gifts to us as the kids, as his grandkids, but most of them needed to be put together. Now, naturally, we had zero patience to wait for that, so we needed our dad to put it together right away. So my grandpa would kick back in his chair and just laugh the whole time watching my dad to put these together. And my dad's got to be there putting it together piece by piece until this toy was totally complete. Now, some were super easy. Some didn't have many pieces. Some were really complex, right? And they had to get all put together. And the goal is for my dad to put together all of these toys. Now, prior to that, there's anticipation, there's excitement, and a complete lack of patience from us as kids. We're like, Dad, let's get a wiggle on, let's do this, right? And once it was done, there's a sense of completion. It's over. Maybe a sense of relief or peace for my dad. He's like, finally, we're done. Well, peace is what we're going to talk about today. We're in the second week of our Advent series. We are going over the different themes of Advent this year. We're in a series called Many Gifts, One Package. Each week seeing each theme as a gift, because I really see all of these as gifts that we are given. But then in one package, how they come in Jesus, and on Christmas Eve, we will talk specifically about Jesus. So this week, we'll talk about peace. We will light our candle each week to represent it. We have one lit now that's hope from last week, so here we go, the big reveal of our awesome battery candles. Yeah, there's the peace candle that we will light this week. All right, so that's all lit. Now, we're going to talk about peace a little bit before we dive in, kind of what it means. In the Old Testament, peace is referred to by shalom, the word shalom. And in my time in ministry, my time in seminary, I heard the word shalom a lot. We'd love to talk about this because it's not, it doesn't mean peace always in the sense that we think about it. Shalom would be being complete or whole. Think about like a stone with no cracks in it. It's just complete. It's totally put together. And there's also this implication that life is complex. Life has many pieces, but Jesus coming as our peace, Jesus bringing peace or shalom, makes us whole. So what I want us to think about today, kind of that punchline, thing to take away, is that piece by piece, we're made complete by Jesus' peace. We have all these different pieces in our lives, but we're made complete by the peace of Jesus. So today, we're going to look at the different pieces of our lives that need Jesus' peace. And before we dive into that, we're going to see that not only did Jesus bring peace, Jesus actually was peace. We're going to start with Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. This is the one that's bookmarked on your table if you want to follow along. We'll be in different passages. Kyle will have them all right here behind me. So let's read Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7, how Jesus is indeed peace. This is a fairly famous scripture for Christmas time. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." We'll stop there. So God's Son is coming. God's Son is going to be given. He's going to come as a human. He's going to be born of human parents in Mary and Joseph, but he's given by God, and he's giving these great descriptors. He's Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. This is the closest thing to really seeing him coming as supernatural, to actually coming as God. He's going to be all these things. But the final one, it says, is Prince of Peace. And prince in this sense isn't royalty. We don't want to think royalty like we maybe think of it. Prince here would be like administrator or somebody that gives something out. So Jesus is coming as peace, but also as like the administrator of peace. He's going to bring it and dish it out. And we're going to get into those ways that he does that in a little bit here. But it's this reign. It's this reign of peace, this never-ending peace. And it comes in Jesus. He is that. He literally is that. There's this phrase going around that I hear. I follow sports quite a bit. And there's a phrase going around that says, he's him. I don't know if you've heard this before. If not, it's totally fine. But they'll say, somebody will have a really good game. They'll be like, man, he's him. Meaning he had this fantastic game, or he did the best, or he's awesome. Or think about, you go to a concert and there's a musician that just absolutely crushes the performance. You might say, he's him. He's that musician. It's the best of the best. There's nothing better. It was just borderline perfect. People would say he's him. With Jesus being all these things, wonderful counselor, everlasting father, prince of peace, he's him. So Jesus is peace, but he brings peace. And that's a really the big part I want to focus on today. I want to talk about how he is peace, but how he brings it to us. And the first way is he makes peace between us and God. Colossians 1, verses 19 and 20 says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." So God wants the fullness of his creation, his fullness, all of it, to dwell with him, to dwell in him, to be with him. The problem is there is sin, and sin separates people from God. That's kind of a, we use the word barrier a lot. I feel like that's maybe my word of the last few months, because I think I've said it a lot. But that's that barrier between us and God. It's like conflict or tension that keeps the two apart. But God reconciled that through Jesus on the cross. He made peace between us by sending Jesus. We think of that a lot around Good Friday and Easter time, because it's on the cross that Jesus actually dies and pays for our sins, but we can't get to the cross with Jesus as a human if he's not born first. And he comes that way here in this season, and we anticipate that, and we get ready for that. So God took peace, took care of that peace of our life, that separation from God, by making peace through Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection. And it allows us to get closer to him. It allows us to grow with him. Stacy and I have been watching a lot of the baking shows now as we're getting close to Christmas. We just finished up Great British Baking Show, big fan of that one. One of the things they have to do in that show is they do called proving the dough, right? You take your yeast, and there's some pictures of this, you put yeast and you mix it with the dough and it has to prove. Basically, proving means it rises. It puffs up, it grows in size. Now, this doesn't just happen, right? You have the dough and you put the yeast in it, but if you just let it sit there and I stare at it, it doesn't rise. They put it in what's called a proving drawer, which I decided I really wish I had one of these, right? It's super cool. It's like got this nice temperature to it. You put it in there so the dough can puff and rise how it's supposed to. But it needs the right amount of heat, not too much, not too little. But it needs that heat for the dough to rise and for it to grow. Jesus' peace between us and God is like that proving drawer, that perfect amount of heat that can rely our relationship to grow. Because, see, peace between us and God, it allows us to be in heaven with God, but it also allows our relationship with God to grow. It removes tension from our relationship with God. All relationships will struggle to grow or be healthy if there's tension there, or if there's things left hanging, if things are left unresolved. God making peace with us through Jesus does that, resolving what was unresolved. See, God wants a relationship with us. He wants peace with us. That was his design. We go back to Genesis 1 and 2. He didn't create a world where there wasn't peace, where he wasn't with his people. Sin came in, and because we're human, that barrier that separated us from God came. It attempts to keep us apart from God, but God's made peace with us by sending Jesus. He's allowing our relationship with him to be complete, to be whole. And we have to be willing to accept that. That God has made peace with us. And at the same time, we need to make sure that we're not holding anything against God as well. In essence, we need to make peace with God. And this can be challenging, right? If we're holding something against God, if we're mad or we're disappointed or we're hurt, talk to him about it. Put that out there to him. He wants to listen. He will hear it, and you can talk to him about it, but be willing to make peace with God on your end. He's done it on his side. Let's do it on ours. He created us in his own image. And with sin, yeah, we let that down. But he's made peace with us and is bringing us back to him. So let's take advantage of that. And when we do that, our relationship with God is at peace, and we can remove any cracks or blemishes in it and have this whole relationship with God. And that's what we're after. So Jesus came as peace and made peace between us and God. Jesus came to also make peace between people. Ephesians 2, 14 and 16. It says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." So again, Jesus is described as peace. Now, by being peace, it says he made the two groups one. One, what Paul's writing about here in this letter is we have the Jews and the Gentiles, and they were separated. But he's saying by Jesus, what Jesus did, they can become one. To Jesus, there no longer needed to be these divisions or distinctions between them. And they had literal boundaries. If you look back at how the temple was set up, there was the court of the Gentiles where the Gentiles were, and they didn't get to go past a literal wall where the Jews went through. They were stopped. But Jesus breaks down both those physical and metaphorical boundaries or barriers and walls. He does that. The animosity and the conflict get broken. But that's not it. Because this peace that Jesus is and Jesus brings, this shalom, isn't just the absence of conflict. It's also that wholeness and completeness. The groups now have peace and can be together in harmony. They can have that harmony around Jesus. And it doesn't mean they have to give up all their traditions or who they are. But it does mean that they have something they can kind of unify around. The two pieces can really be made whole. If you've ever had to, think about working with somebody that's really difficult, but you had to come together, right, to work on a difficult project. I thought about this. I've heard stories. Here we go. The Fast and the Furious franchise. Anybody seen the movies? Has anybody seen all of them? Was there like 37 now, I think? It's a lot. It's 8 or 9. But these two guys are in one, Vin Diesel and The Rock. 2016, they're doing the one called The Fate of the Furious, and there was a lot of hubbub that came out that these two did not get along. We're not liking each other. The Rock posted something on Instagram about professionalism and, in essence, was calling out Vin Diesel, and he had his comments. There was back and forth, and apparently they couldn't even shoot some scenes together. They don't want to be around each other. But eventually they squashed whatever it was. The movie got made, and they said it was all for the good, the Fast and Furious franchise, if you want to call it a franchise. They had different philosophies on acting, according to them, but making a good movie, making a good series, and yes, making a whole lot of money on it is something they could come around and agree upon. They had differing views, but there was something they could unify around. We have that in Jesus, something to unify around, this coming together, even with disagreement, and unifying around something with other Christians. And for us, that's Jesus. Agree and rally around the fact that Jesus came and he's our Savior. We don't have to agree on everything with all other Christians. I probably don't agree with everything and with every one of you in this room. We don't have to do all the same things as all other Christians. It can be little things, whether you're an iPhone or an Android user, or the style of music you like, or how you like to dress, or the food, or it can get even bigger. You can disagree on social issues or political issues. That one always gets hot and heavy. You can disagree on all this stuff. And that's okay, because we can unify around Jesus even though we disagree on all those things. It's a big reason why every week at Hometown we take communion, and we'll do it later. Because we come here and we can say, even if we disagree on 99 other things, we can agree on this one, and we can celebrate that together, that Jesus came, he died, and he's our Savior. And we rally around that because it's bigger and more important than any of the other stuff. All right? Everyone in this room can do it. It doesn't mean we're best friends, right? Being unified or having peace doesn't mean you're always hanging out with everybody. Doesn't mean you're best friends. Doesn't mean you're going to each other's Christmas parties. You totally can, but that's not necessarily what it means. It just means we're going to put down some hostility. We're going to put down our arrogance of thinking we're smarter or we're better or we're more right than somebody else. Put all that down. We can agree to disagree on all this other stuff, but agree to agree here on Jesus. Agree to agree on Jesus. Come together for Jesus. Serve Jesus together. Represent Jesus well together. If you're like, okay, I can agree to agree on Jesus with somebody. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to serve with them or anything. Okay, here's the challenge then. Pray for them. Pray for them. Now, don't pray for them to change their minds and start thinking like you or to believe the things you do. Pray that God will work in their lives, or that God will work in their ministry in the way God wants to. Because if it's from God, it can't be wrong. This one is challenging. I have had to bring myself to pray for people I do not like, but that I know believe in Jesus the way I do. It's hard, but that's what Jesus came to do, and he's bigger than any other of the little beefs I might hold inside. That's what he does. Because there are so many things in this world that want to cause divisions. With all the things that want to cause divisions, even between us as Christians, let's let Jesus be the peace between the different pieces of our creation, between us. So Jesus came to make peace between people. The final one, inner peace. Talk about peace within ourselves. John 14, 25 through 27 says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So Jesus is going to go away. He's going to end up in heaven, but he promises that his presence and who he is will not be gone forever. He promises the gift of peace. And this is a peace that's like this sense of calm or comfort in the midst of struggle, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of temptation, in the midst of hurt. We could keep going on those. Now, it's not eliminating that, right? It's not that, okay, the peace I have in Jesus means it's just going to all be gone tomorrow, that the struggle's over. It doesn't mean that. But it's having that peace of Jesus, that calmness in the midst, inner peace, peace of heart and mind. No person can give this. The world can't give it. We can't manufacture it or create it. It just comes from Jesus. Only Jesus can put together the pieces of us that are super disconnected inside and make us whole. Only Jesus does that. And it seems like with the way Jesus says this here, that he knows struggle is coming, right? He knows he's going away. His disciples, apostles are going to continue and build out his church. It's like he knows there's going to be some inner struggle with this. That's going to be really hard. So he says, "I'm going to leave you this peace." He leaves inner peace to make it whole, to clean it up, really, inside of them. I thought, I was trying to like, man, what things need to really come together? And I was walking around our kitchen. I have a weird way of processing my sermons. I have to like stand up from my desk and go like wander around and get my head out of it. And I was in our kitchen, which I spend a lot of time in. And I opened up what is our junk drawer. Anybody have a junk drawer at home? Yeah, right? Everything just gets chucked in it, right? It's all random stuff. And I looked at ours, and you might find pens and scissors and clothespins and rubber bands and candles. Now, ours was actually organized because for some reason I went through it and organized it a few months ago. I think probably because Stacy was like, "This thing is a disaster. We can't even open it." I was like, "All right, take a look." But it's usually like this. It's all scattered. The drawer needs some sense of order or organization. The junk drawer needs some peace, right? That junk drawer needs a piece of Jesus. It needs someone to take all the stuff that just got kind of chucked in there, all that crap that just got thrown in there, and make it complete or whole. Jesus brings peace to the junk drawer that can be our lives sometimes, right? Jesus can do that. Now, at least he does it for me. I hope he can do that for you. And if your life doesn't feel like a junk drawer, that's okay. Maybe that's just me. That's my own little metaphor, and that's fine. But that's what it feels like. It's being able to breathe easily in the midst of everything going on around you. Everything. The verse I read before, verse 27, I'm going to go back real quick to it. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." That is a verse that I love, that I've gone back to many, many times in my life. It is also a verse that has made me want to pick up my Bible and throw it against the wall. Because it's so hard to find sometimes. That peace can be so difficult to grab onto. I've shared this before, but I have diagnosed anxiety and depression, and I have to be aware of that every day. And what it does, the way it hits me, is it causes a bunch of what's called mental adrenaline. So my brain just gets going. If you've ever seen a movie or TV show, where like a bunch of pictures flash really fast on the screen, right? That's kind of what happens in my head sometimes. I'm like, all right, let's figure all the things out. How am I going to do this? Where are we going here? Who's picking the kids up? When's karate? What am I making for dinner? Okay, I got to prep that sermon. What's going on in that TV show? Oh, hey, I got to shovel the driveway. Let's figure it all out. Let's go. And it's like my system just gets overloaded, right? It's the overload. What I need is peace in that overloaded system. And it can be hard to find that peace in Jesus because I've let other things into my heart and my mind before him. I haven't been focused on choosing Jesus' peace first. And it can cause my mind to feel like it's on a whole lot of pieces. Now, that's just me. Maybe some of you are like, "I don't really struggle for inner peace. I got that one on lockdown." Great. I'm happy for you. I really am. But for others, you're like, "Man, I do struggle with inner peace." Think about what are those stressors for you, the things that might stress you out, might make you feel chaotic, like you're into multiple pieces inside. work, relationships, health, current events, the holiday season. Take your pick, any of them. Now, Jesus' peace doesn't fix all of those, but it does help you feel together in the midst of that craziness, comforted, able to just take a breath and say, okay, inner peace, when it feels like everything else is chaotic. Jesus left us that. But we have to choose that peace before the storm. We choose that peace even when it's calm in life. Because if we wait for the storm, Jesus' peace is still there, but it's super hard to find. It can be really hard to find. So let's make that peace something we choose first. Find that peace every day. Find that peace first. Because Jesus left us peace. Jesus came as peace, and man, I believe that peace is a gift. Peace is a gift. We're going to wrap up with that today. It's a gift because Jesus knew we needed it, right? He went to left it, just like, oh, here's just a little one-off thing you guys can have if you want it. He knew we were going to need peace, and nothing else can bring peace the way Jesus does. Now, we may look for it elsewhere, and for a little while, we might find it elsewhere. Might find peace in relationships, might find peace in vacations. Some people look for peace in substances. Some people look for peace in feelings. But eventually all of that peace fades. But the peace of Jesus doesn't fade. And look at the big ways he's brought it. Peace with God. Allowing our relationship with God to grow and to be whole. Peace with others. Allowing us to unify around him. Around what we celebrate at communion, even when there are 99 other differences that might seem insurmountable. That's what Jesus' peace with other people brought. And then Jesus brought peace inside of us, allowing us to be comforted and calm when everything else around us seems chaotic. All the pieces of our lives can be put together because Jesus' peace makes us complete. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today and this next theme of Advent, God, of peace. God, I thank you that you sent Jesus to be our peace and to bring peace. God, it's something we all need. And I thank you that he brought peace between us, God, that he made peace so that we can grow a relationship with you, that we can be with you. And God, that he brought peace between other people. And that one can be hard, God, to take advantage of. So I pray for all of us if we feel like we're not at peace with other people, that we would pray, we would spend time with you, God, and we would figure out how to make that happen, how to unify around you as our Savior. And God, I thank you that you brought inner peace, that you are our inner peace. God, I pray for each of us in this room that we would make the choice to find you as our peace every day, that we would make the choice to find you as our peace right away and first, so that when things do get chaotic or crazy, or even when they're not, that you would be our peace and that we'd be focused on you as that. We thank you again for this morning. Your name. Amen.